This week's episode of Still Entitled is brought to you by Ops Genie, because incidents happen. Thankfully, Ops Genie empowers devs and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during incidents. It also gives teams the power to respond quickly and efficiently to unplanned issues. And it helps notify all the right people through smart combination of scheduling and escalation paths. With Ops Genie, your next incident doesn't stand a chance. Visit opsgenie.com to sign up and get a free company account and add up to 5 team members. That's opsgenie.com. Never miss a critical alert again with Ops Genie. Welcome to Still Entitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Norm.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Jen.
Jen Schachter, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
I'm glad you were on 2 weeks running. What are you doing here in San Francisco?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. some of which we can talk about and some of which we can't.
Awesome.
But lots of exciting projects.
Jen, if you don't remember, Jen, you've actually been on the podcast before,
mm-hmm.
but you work with Adam most recently at NomCon.
At NomCon in Santa Fe this June,
yep.
We the Builders. I got to help out towards the tail end of a gigantic We the Builders project.
Yeah, it was. She was monstrous, Rosie. she was 7 feet tall. I'm trying to remember, six feet tall. Over 2,600 parts and 750 plus contributors from around the world.
And so you took a model you'd built of Rosie the Riveter,
mm-hmm.
and you turned it into a 3D file, and then you split that up into 2,600?
Yeah, 2,625 parts.
And then spread those out among over 700 makerspaces around the world so all these different folks could contribute a piece to this incredible sculpture.
Yeah. Yeah, We the Builders has been doing projects like that for a while, so I joined them kind of later in the process. It's Todd Blatt and Marty McGuire were some of the original founders of that project, and that was the fifth sculpture that we've built as We the Builders.
The biggest.
The biggest by far, yeah. The other ones are about 3 feet tall-ish and a few hundred parts. This was a few thousand parts.
I saw the previous ones. You had Edgar Allan Poe was mm-hmm. one of them, and they're still pretty big. This
yeah.
one, it looked like there was a structural challenge of how do you assemble around it.
And you had tried to solve that with some interior pinning mm-hmm. and some construction, but it was a non-trivial problem to make something like that hold itself up.
Yeah, we did a lot of sketching out and planning beforehand, but a lot of those projects, you don't really know what you're going to get until the pieces show up. And so once we got them all there and saw how things were going to align and where we were going to need to be able to get into the internal structure to put the armature in, we had to kind of improvise. Which we did.
That was so much fun. I particularly love building stuff in front of people.
Mm.
I find that, if I'm just hanging out in a room full of people, sometimes I'm not sure what to do. And when I have a task and mm-hmm. I'm there with you and Todd and those guys and we're just all the way inside the problem.
Oh, completely.
And the solving. It just feels so immediate. And it's also lovely to share that process because you and I are very simpatico in how we work together.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And it's sort of, somebody told me this afterwards. I hadn't observed it, but they explained to me, they were like, you guys communicate without speaking sometimes. Like you'll just look at each other and kind of nod or hand somebody the other thing. It's like we can a little bit anticipate what's going to happen next or what needs to be there.
Yeah.
And we didn't really talk about that. It just happens. It's weird. It's sort of this performative thing in a way, but you also, at least for me, I don't know, I get so zoned in on the build that
yeah.
I completely forget that there's all these people around.
As
so
do when, I. No, totally.
When I saw the video, it was like being there in a totally different way because I hadn't seen it from that perspective before.
Out of body experience.
Yeah.
And watching the clips when I was putting that together, I could tell you both jumped into action. There was like a little bit of discussion, but it was mostly nodding and then grabbing coffee, grabbing drills, getting underneath the base
mm-hmm.
and just
yeah.
drilling into it because it needed to be put together.
It was such a fun day, and that zoning in is like it's pure pleasure.
Yeah.
And so I was also gratified because when we first met, I think one of the things we realized is that we had a very similar style of drawing
mm-hmm.
when we're problem solving. I was looking at your drawing and I was like, I don't remember drawing that. And it's nice to realize that continues on through our, when you're putting stuff together, you're making 1,000 small choices. You're hacking branches off your decision trees to get it done in time.
Mm.
And it is, if you're working with someone who you can't quite dance with, figure that out with. Look, that's what working with people mostly is like. But every now and then you can find a pair of brains that run on parallel tracks, and it's really delightful.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that before. There's like this other kind of plane of consciousness when you get into the zone, when you're working and when you're building. And for me, I mean, I obviously love being in that space, but when you're able to do that with other people, one or more other people, when you're on a big project together, it's like this vibration of excitement that goes through everybody, and you're just, you're in it, and it's a very communal, I don't know, it's just a really great feeling.
So one of the, late in Mythbusters tenure, we were dropping panes of glass off this fire tower in Santa Rosa. And we had, in order to be able to drop these panes safely, we had, Jamie and I had built a large cantilevered steel structure that sat on top of the wall of the very top of the fire tower as a kind of a hook, and then cantilevered out from there. And it weighed several hundred pounds. And at the end of the day, we're done shooting, and it's time to get that down. And the only people qualified to do that are me and Jamie. So Jamie rides a boom lift all the way up, and the removal of it from the building is this very careful and quite dangerous dance of several hundred pounds of steel with one guy in a boom lift, which is just terrifying in and of itself, and one guy in the building. And we're doing this, and you know, we just did it. It took about 7 or 8 minutes, and we got the thing connected onto his thing and took on weight, and there it goes. And as it starts to go down, I'm experiencing this deep sense of pleasure of what it's like to work with someone whose brain runs on such parallel tracks. No words were exchanged. It just was effortless. And as he's going down like this, Jamie goes, "It's a pleasure to work with you, sir." And I was like, "Aww. Me too, Jamie."
Both of you talking about being in the zone and collaborations, these are things that are really born out of like the very old school physical fabrication techniques, right? Mm-hmm. When you're drilling things, when you're painting things, you can do that. But Jen, you also do a lot of digital stuff. And I find that when I'm doing something like 3D modeling, you're in a different kind of zone. Mm-hmm. It's more isolating. Mm-hmm. You find that too? And when if you're fabricating with like CNC tools, can you get into that same zone?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because one of the things that we've been banging on about a lot in our makerspace outreach, Jen and I mm-hmm. and our other colleagues who want to make makerspaces accessible to everybody, is one of the bottlenecks is the CAD-CAM pipeline, is translating something from three dimensions in your head in the abstract to a two-dimensional representation of three dimensions on a computer screen to actual three dimensions. It's a pain in the ass. It's never trivial. They are difficult problems to solve. Autodesk is trying really mm-hmm. hard to solve it, but it just struck me that collaboration in a virtual space is another aspect of that where it definitely still falls short.
Yeah, what is the equivalent? Because right now it is single person at single computer screen. There aren't really the shared tools to do it in real time, at least. You know, there is the delay.
You make me want to talk to some of my friends at ILM. So I have a lot of friends who are former model makers, like Howie Weed and John Goodson, Dave Fogler, who then became digital modelers and then went on from there. But that, I'm curious whether there are internal tools at Industrial Light and Magic that allow for such a thing.
It's interesting to think about that with a collaboration aspect, because I find I'm like stubbornly analog when it comes to putting down ideas. Like, I know that there are infinite CAD tools out there to make diagrams of three-dimensional things, and I still want to do it in my sketchbook because it's a faster pathway from what I'm thinking of in my head to the thing being visualized. And trying to put that through CAD software, I mean, it's mostly just me being stubborn, because there really are great tools out there, but there is a barrier.
There is, and frankly, before I drew something in Rhino or anything else, I'd have to sketch it out on a sketchbook first just to understand what I was about to dive into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With regard to some of the CNC tools, I follow you on Twitter, Jen, and something you posted, you were part of Make Magazine's team to review a lot of the new like digital fabrication tools, right? I think last time when you were here, you helped us assemble an X-Carve.
Yep.
And you were part of a new team this year to evaluate some of the newer tools. Can you talk about some of that stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I've actually, since then, I've gotten to do two, because I was here last February. So I had the one in 2017 and then the one this year. So I've gotten, this is my third DigiFab tester team.
Oh, nice.
And it's kind of overwhelming, because the level of experience and just expertise in that room is mind-boggling. And I'm kind of I'm a newbie for sure. But they, you know, they want people to review the products who are not necessarily the experts, because not everyone who's going to be buying them and using them is an expert. So I'm kind of a good middle ground of like having done some stuff before, but not being like the person manufacturing the machine. So It's so much fun. It's really intense. We kind of lock ourselves in a warehouse in a makerspace in Rhode Island for an entire weekend. It's usually like the hottest weekend of the entire year. And it's the most like epic Christmas morning unboxing you can imagine. It's like every digital fabrication machine you've wanted to get your hands on all year is there in a box. And we put white gloves on because we don't want to fingerprint stuff before it gets photographed. So it's right. This white gloves unboxing. And it's just like the whole floor, every surface is covered with these boxes of all the new machines. And we get to, you know, unbox and test them and review them. It's interesting because we have a set of probes for 3D printers that have been developed and kind of perfected over the years they've been doing this. But there aren't as many or aren't really a system for reviewing laser and CNC in a way that you can compare kind of apples to apples across the machines. So a lot of what I worked on this year was trying to develop probes for lasers so that we can have... You know, for 3D printing, they'll do like a bridge test or an overnight print and see how the printers perform mm-hmm. versus each other with those specific prints. Mm-hmm. So for laser, I was like, let me create a set of files that we can run on each machine to test for, you know, for various different levels of performance and quality and speed and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to give too much away. You should go get the totally. Issue and check it out. But it's an interesting process. And I think laser and CNC are kind of... becoming more approachable for consumers as 3D printing has been doing for a while now.
And even within those categories, understanding the limitations and the strengths of those classes of devices, mm-hmm. right? Like the same type of metrics and tests that you develop for a high-end laser cutter, you wouldn't use necessarily on, you know, a gas-based laser cutter that's meant for the home or makerspace.
Right, right. I think there's some more industrial-level machines, certainly with CNC. I think for laser cutters, we've mostly been doing like desktop consumer level machines, but that's not to say that there won't be the full industrial lasers in the future.
That's exciting. What's the most interesting new category of tool you've seen?
They did some water jet cutters this year, which was really cool to see. I didn't get to touch. I mean, I got to watch them. I don't know anything about water jet cutters, but we got some to test, and there's some CNC embroidery machines. They're branching out, so it's not just 3D printing anymore. It's right. digital fabrication across the board. But
and that's. It's such an exciting space. I love how much better it's getting. I just did a one-day build here in the shop with a filament-printed piece that required so little final finishing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mind-blowing. It's I love that rapid prototyping is becoming rapid manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
Before we continue on with the conversation, I want to let you know that this episode is also made possible by KiwiCo. KiwiCo creates super cool hands-on projects for kids that make learning about STEAM fun. KiwiCo projects are designed to spark creativity, tinkering, and learning in kids of all ages. Their mission is to provide the next generation of innovators with tools and foundation to become creative problem solvers and critical thinkers. KiwiCo's projects are super fun, educational, and convenient. Every crate includes all the supplies needed for that month's projects, detailed, easy-to-follow instructions written specifically for kids, and an educational magazine to learn even more about that crate's theme. KiwiCo inspires kids to see themselves as makers, engineering and creating their own innovative designs and outcomes, and they have 6 lines of projects to choose from, like the Tadpole Crate for kids 0 to 2, all the way up to the Tinker Crate for teens. If you're looking for a gift this holiday season for kids of any age, check out KiwiCo. And KiwiCo is offering today's listeners the chance to try these projects out for free. To redeem this offer and learn more about projects for kids, visit kiwico.com/untitled. Once again, that's kiwico.com/untitled to try these projects out for free. Now back to the conversation. What else is new? Tell us about other projects. I guess we can talk about one of the things that you're doing with another one of our collaborators, Kate Sabaker, and Jeremy Williams, which is a iteration on the South by South Lawn letters that you worked on with Adam.
Yeah, so the first project that Adam and I sort of met on was the giant SXSL letters.
It's
and
hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And people were like, what?
Yeah.
It's a riff on South by Southwest. That was an event at the end of the Obama administration. It was a big festival on the White House South Lawn. And Adam and I collaborated on these giant letters that were like 7 feet tall. that lit up and people could interact with on Twitter. And we worked with Digital Harbor Foundation in Baltimore to assemble them.
With 50 kids.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal build. It was just like, it was so much fun.
That was one of the best days I've ever had. And the next day was a pretty close second.
Yeah. The whole thing was really nerve-wracking because I had all the flat pieces that I had made. And the deadline was like, it has to be done today because it has to be on the White House lawn tomorrow.
Yep.
So anyway, this was sort of, after that project, I thought, well, we put these giant letters into storage, and I thought it'd be great to have a version that I can look at all the time and kind of, reflect on that day. So I made a miniature version. I laser cut tiny, tiny little panels and etched in channels for them, wired up the electronics, and I've had it sitting on a shelf in my shop for 2 years, almost 2 years. And when I knew I was coming out here, I thought this would be a great project for me to finish here. So I've been working with various members of the team to get that finished, and we'll have some miniature versions. And, I mean, miniatures are just so much fun.
It's delightful to move through the tested offices and see them being so occupied, every room being mm-hmm. occupied with yeah. industry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And tools actually use. And that's a combination of laser cutting and model making and electronics work. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
There's so much expertise here, so we're all kind of, everybody's getting their hand in on something, and I'm learning a ton from everybody. So
that's awesome. Norm, to bury the lead.
Yes.
You have a new addition to your family.
I was thinking, like, could I pass this podcast off as being recorded 2 weeks ago?
No. Do you your lovely and amazing wife gave birth to a human child?
Yes. It was intense. Everyone's great. Everyone's healthy, but I was out for the past 2 weeks because, yeah, we're parents now, which is...
You're experiencing the lack of sleep that is de rigueur for...
You know what? I will say after less than a week now, I have just the tiny bit of understanding of what every parent has been through, and it is... You cannot... You can be told it,
nope.
But you will not be ready for it unless you go through it.
And it's... Frankly, also, it's not that bad. I mean, you
there
just
are ways,
do it.
Yeah, yeah. You just do it. You do it.
Like, that's
you
just, it. That's
you,
your
yeah,
job. Now,
kicking
you
the gear.
Just do it.
Yeah, there's no like grunting about it, and no, you just do it. But it's,
when my boys were born, almost 20 years ago now, there's a whole bunch of people in the mission that all had babies at about the same time, and I knew this because my specific size of diaper was never in stock at the local Walgreens. I hope you don't have to deal with such a thing.
No, well, not yet. first massive poop last night.
So, it's a big milestone.
All the milestones.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Nobody documents that one. No one's like, first full diaper.
First non-myconium.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
Welcome to the ranks, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
But what's name, going on? The name?
His name is Avery. And we had, I think, 8+ friends who had babies this year. He's a boy. We chose intentionally a name that could, not
gender
be
neutral
yeah, exactly
name.
Gender neutral name. And none of our friends chose that name. So that was the biggest fear.
Oh, good. Because yeah. You could have gone with like Bookcase or Seven.
Yeah. I think Lucky Yates wanted Optimus at Comic-Con.
Oh,
he really pushed for Optimus. Sorry, Lucky.
Lucky is just the kind of troll that would like convince you to do it, too.
Yeah. Batman or Optimus was his choices. But you guys had some great visitors at the shop here last week. I saw you did a podcast with Melissa Ng.
Melissa Ng came, and oh my gosh, how amazing is what she's doing? And she's just like in that bubble mm-hmm. in Queens. It's so nice to see her out here and to have spent some time talking about what she's doing and introduce her to a lot of other makers. That was delightful. And the stuff we're going to cover it on Tested. What she showed, what she brought is just incredible. Her work is really first rate.
Yeah. And while you're in town, Jen, I know you're also visiting other makers,
mm-hmm.
right? You and the team, I think, went to visit a sculptor. Is that right?
Yeah, we went to visit Nemo Gold, who he makes... I don't want to pigeonhole him by calling it kinetic sculpture, but they're essentially kinetic sculptures made out of found objects from, various different machine parts and old furniture and stuff. So he... collects this, he has a huge collection of stuff at his shop, and sort of arranges it and repurposes it to make these amazing kinetic dioramas and sculptural pieces. His work's been at Maker Faire, but I also heard about it from, I think he has some pieces at the Monterey Bay Aquarium that are kind of these like octopus things that, they're just, they're, wow. they're these kind of like immersive little vignettes that you can just get lost in. And then they're, when you look really closely, they're made out of machine parts that you may or may not recognize.
Found parts, or does he machine them?
I don't know
too?
Anything about this. It sounds amazing.
Oh, it's so, you would love it, Adam. you would love
your description. Yeah.
His shop is incredible because it's, I mean, it's like, it's part shop, but it's also like, I was thinking of it kind of like the Little Mermaid cave, where he just has all of these objects that he's amassed over many years. I think he had a residency at a at the recycling and waste disposal plant. So an artist residency there. So he's like intercepting the stuff before it hits the landfill.
I there's been a residency here in San Francisco for almost 30 years now, and I applied for it a couple times back in the early 90s.
I didn't
sounds like a dream residency to me.
It sounded so cool. He was saying that you have to when you're there, you have to act quickly because the stuff is moving really fast. So you have to just grab it. And I mean, I don't know how much of the work that we saw was made out of that residency, but it was just, it was really cool to take a tour of the space. And
the very first time MythBusters did a sequence at the waste disposal site down in South San Francisco. I don't know who owned it back then, but we were at the place where people dump stuff out of their cars. There's a couple of dumpsters, right, where they just pull stuff out of their cars. And there was a briefcase there on the ground, and my producer picked it up and opened it up. Inside, an Uzi.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
How about that? She turned it in. They were surprised, to say the very least.
Wow.
People throw all sorts of stuff away, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wouldn't have pecked that.
No, I know.
Oh. Thank you so much for being here, Jen.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, like, there's so much cool stuff going on. I mean, I had to come back. I mean,
absolutely. And it's delightful to have you on the West Coast.
Thank you.
We've only collaborated so far on the East Coast or in the Midwest. So now we've covered all three sections of the country, East, Midwest.
That's true.
We're being coy because there is a really, really awesome project that Jen is here to do with Adam. It's a little bit of a long-term project. So I think all I can say is that next year, you'll probably hear more about it.
It's going to be awesome.
And it's mind-blowing and really exciting. I also want to give a quick shout-out this weekend. I don't think I'm going to be there. There's no way I'm going to be there. In Anaheim Designer Con this weekend. Yeah, I know. I kept on thinking, like, can I pull away for a day and fly down to L.A.? But it's my favorite convention of the year. It's where a lot of graphic designers and sculptors release their collectibles and toys. So people like Jason Freeney or the artist Nychos or graphic artists and poster designers. It's in the Anaheim Convention Center, which is massive. But if you can make it out there, you should totally check it out. And of course, anyone in LA in the Thousand Oaks area, we are thinking of you because the fires in California right now,
both on north and south. It's such a tragedy, and the smoke here has been diabolical.
Yeah. I did a day of inhaling smoke here in San Francisco and then went camping, so I'm like fully smoked out from
I'll bet.
Yeah, stay safe, everyone.
Yeah, please.
And we will see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening this week. And once again, this episode of Still Untitled was made possible by KiwiCo, creators of super cool hands-on projects for kids of all ages that are designed to spark creativity and make learning about STEAM fun. KiwiCo's mission is to provide the next generation of innovators with the tools to become creative problem solvers and critical thinkers with projects that are fun, educational, and convenient. KiwiCo is offering you, today's listeners, the chance to try these projects out for free. To redeem this offer and learn more about their projects for kids, visit kiwico.com/untitled. We'll see you next week.